Hey, we're gonna pray before we get stuck into the Word. God, we thank you that you're leading us, you're guiding us into more and more of your likeness. And God, that you're giving us opportunities to spread the gospel across this great city. And Lord, that you're guiding us and leading us into more and more generosity, into the way that we should love others. God, that we can make your love known to each and every person in our city. In your mighty, wonderful name, amen. Amen. Vision month this month, we've already preached on evangelism, we've preached on discipleship, and I'm sure you can guess that today is generosity. And I've just noticed that I'm gonna call out Lejo here. He's in the building. Yeah, man. We moved house yesterday, and I told you that you were going to be in trouble if you came to church today, because he was up at 2 a.m. the night before, and I told him he had to sleep in, and he was in church. Okay, so he's in trouble. We're going to call him out from the platform. And today is on generosity, and so we want to talk about the generosity, not just of money. Right, and I know that that can be a touchy subject. Sometime we'll go into that, but generosity as a way of life. As always, we're going to start with a story. Now, this I get to travel a little bit for work, and when I travel for work, or if we go out for dinner or whatever, the head of our department, I'm not going to name him because I hope one day he'll listen into the live stream, but the head of our department is notoriously generous. Okay, he is absolutely notoriously generous. And so we'll go out for dinner, and I've sort of become used to it, right? He just asks what people's diet requirements are and then just orders. And you don't do anything. You just sit back and he just orders everything, and there's always more than enough food, and he's just super, super, super generous, right? And he's like, he's made a reputation for himself that's what he's great at, you know? And he's always generous with the way that he speaks to you, and he's actually this really, really wonderful character that comes out most obviously in when he takes people out for dinner. And so last time I got to travel to Sydney for work, one of the girls from another department was traveling with us, and she'd never been out to a dinner with one of the heads of the business. And so we go out, and she starts looking through the menu, and I'm sitting next to her, and I said, hey, I don't know what you're doing, but you don't look at the menu. And she's like, what do you mean? I said, no, you haven't been out with him before, have you? And she said, no. I said, oh, you're in for a treat. I said, don't worry. I said, do you have any dietary requirements? She said, nah. I said, then just sit back. And she's like, what do you mean? I said, just sit back, just relax. And then the first lot of food comes out, and she's eating, and she's like, oh, okay, that was good. I'm like, oh, you're in trouble. Second lot of food comes out. She's like, no, seriously, there's not more. Third lot of food comes out, and there's just food everywhere, and she doesn't know what to do with herself. She's like, oh, man, I was worried that I was going to eat too many things on the first part. He ordered so much food that he had to actually go back to the kitchen and say, I've ordered too much. Can you stop bringing food out, right? He went over the top and was so generous. And then we finish up, and she's like, man, you didn't warn me enough. Like, that was amazing. Like, I didn't expect this. And I said, oh, that's okay. Now we're going for ice cream. And she's like, no, we're not. I said, no, we're going for ice cream. I guarantee it. Every time we go out, we're going for ice cream. And I haven't, the guy, he doesn't even know I've said any of this to her. And he's just doing what he normally does. And I just said to her, oh, you've not been around this kind of generosity before. She's like, no, we're seriously not going for ice cream. I said, there's an ice cream shop like four doors down. We will hit that ice cream shop on the way out. She's like, no. She didn't believe me. We get to the ice cream shop and all the boys just walk into the ice cream shop. All of the guys that have been out to dinner with him before, we all just walk into the ice cream shop knowing that he's gonna be behind us and he's going to pay. And she just goes, no way. Like, she's screaming out the front of the ice cream shop, no way. You're not going for ice cream as well. And Matt just walks in. Oh, I just said his name. Damn. Anyway, and he just walks in and starts ordering ice cream for everybody and pays for ice cream. And she was shell-shocked. She was absolutely shell-shocked. The generosity that she'd received, she'd not received from any of the other heads of the business before. She hadn't been out to dinner with the heads of the business before. And she was, for days afterwards, she was coming to me and she's just going, I can't believe it. I'm so used to being told the budget and this, that, and the generosity was just life-changing for. Seeing her around the office in the weeks after, she was just happier. She was honestly more excited about working, and I got the chance to speak to my boss about it later, and I said, you have no idea how much of a difference that made to her. It was so life-changing. See, generosity, even without Christ behind it, is life-changing. How much more so when it's backed with the love of Jesus, amen? See, money is a sensitive topic. I'm not just talking about money today, but I want to kind of address the elephant in the room. Why is money such a sensitive topic? Is it because people tie identity to it? Is it because people worship it? Is it because people are ruled by it? Is it because it changes how people see you if they know how much money you've got to earn or give or whatever else? See, a while back I preached a message on which I called With a Little L. And it was the difference between the world and the word. It's just that little L. See, we have to look at God's word for guidance on money and on all of these areas of generosity and the character and who we're supposed to be, not for what the world pushes on us. See, the world says your identity is found in how much money you make or earn or things that you have and you can purchase and all of those things. But God says your identity is found in Christ. And God says, don't let money rule over you. Serve the Lord, don't serve money. See, God's perspective is what we need to take on as Christians. So, if you're a little bit upset about how we talk about generosity, just go back to the word. Don't blame me. Awesome. Thank you. Why do we practice generosity? What is the purpose? Why did God tell us and talk so much in Scripture about being generous and loving others? See, I came up with 7 reasons, but there's probably more. But 7 key reasons why we want to be generous. The first one is, I spoke about this earlier, so this was going to tie in so well, but it's great. Because God told us to. Because He wants us to. It's the biggest reason. Because the Word says so. See, God wants us to be generous. The second reason, that it brings God glory. The third, it helps others by showing love. The fourth, it's God's plan for the provision of the church. The fifth, it's not our money anyway. None of it is. It's all His. The sixth is that it's only temporary. We're only here for a short time, but we're in eternity forever. And the last is that it's for our own good that we give. Don't believe me? That's okay. We're going to go into some scripture. So if you got your Bibles, take them out. If you got your phones, take them out. If you don't have either of those things, that's okay. We're going to see it up on the screen. Now, this first one's a little long, but we're going to stop off as we see these 7 things play out. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 15. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to scroll. Do whatever, it's going to come up. Easy. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That is, it's for our own good. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That is, it's for your own good. It's not ours anyway. It's only temporary. Yep, cool. We've got, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. It's for our own good. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. It's not ours anyway. It's God's. He's the one that provides us. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It is for His glory. Because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. That is, it's for God's glory. And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Already we see this: God is glorified in the concept of being generous. But here we see a few of these play out. God's telling us to, of course. It brings God glory. It will help others. And that's where it says, This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflow in many expression of thanks to God. That is, it's God's plan for the provision of the church. So nearly all are ticked off in that verse. But what about more? What if God talks about this even more? Trust me, there's more scriptures than I'm going to bring today, but we're going to dive into Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 21, a little bit shorter. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, because God told us to. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Even to our enemies, even to the people that talk the biggest smack about church, be generous. Be loving. Be caring. See, generosity here isn't necessarily in the monetary sense, but it's talking about that heart of generosity to serve and be patient and be kind and always thinking of ourselves as lower and being able to give generously to others. See, you don't just give in church at tithes and offerings time or Kingdom Advance or times with your money. But when you rock up and you're at the host team and you're saying hello to everybody at the door, you're serving with your time and you're being generous with your time. When you take that time and you see that prayer request come into the intercessors page and you get on your knees and you pray, you're being generous with your prayers. When you see those times where the kids need looking after and the kids' leaders have served back to back to back for 6 months and you go, "Hey, look, I can do that." And so you give them a break. Your generosity and your time is changing others. See, it's not just about money. It's about living the character of Jesus. It's about living the character of who Jesus was. As His example, man, if you want to look at Jesus' life, I don't think there's a time in any part of Scripture, in any historical record, where Jesus wasn't serving, where He wasn't giving out of something. Even when Jesus is praying, we see so much that He's praying for everybody else as well. Right? He was so, so, so generous in every way, shape, and form. And we'll go into that in a minute. God wants us to. It brings Him glory. It helps others by showing love. It's God's plan for the provision of the church. It It's not ours anyway. It's temporary and it's for our own good. Is that enough reason for you today to be challenged and maybe a little bit convicted by the Holy Spirit that we should be more generous? Now, don't get me wrong. The generosity of our church is awesome. I think this is something that we do so well already. But we're meant to go from glory to glory, right? We're glory to glory. How much more could we do? How much more could people come to know Christ because we were loving even more? So how? Oh, actually, before we go into the last scripture, all of Matthew chapter 6 you could read, but I'm just going to pick out verse 19 to 21. Chapter 6 is just awesome. You should definitely read all of it. Verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal the bus. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We all fall into this trap of where our treasure is. I do, I know. Like I can fall into the trap of like, you know, my treasure is in memories of riding BMX bikes. My memory is in whatever else. Or my treasure is in whatever else. Family or all of these things. But see, shoes, yeah, they're all pointing in my shoes. These are nothing special, guys. This is nothing. We could store up our treasures here on earth, but what good is that? What good is that? Honestly, I want to have a life where if I go out with zero inheritance and Zeke has to work all his life, that's fine. I don't care. I don't care. Give the whole inheritance to the church. Whatever. You can work. You're able-bodied. You're fine. Go. See, we want to live that life where we're storing up treasures in heaven. Not because it's literal treasures stored up in heaven and we're making an investment, but because God's way more important than anything else on earth. His work is eternal. Whatever we bring is temporary. And when we listen to God, He helps us and He partners with us to do the eternal. How good. How do we practice generosity? Now that I've convinced you that you should, what should you do? Number one is not just with our money. Yes, these concepts talk about money, but also how to love others. How to be generous with time, encouragement, compassion, prayer, whatever other resources you've got. If you're a great Bible teacher, hey, awesome. Do that with our talents. The second one is cheerfully. We heard before, don't do it out of compulsion. Don't do it out of compulsion. Don't do it because the guy got up and he preached a great message and so I feel like I've got to give 50 bucks. No, don't do that. Give what you've decided in your heart. Let God tell you what to do. I'm just saying this is the word, but let God lead you. Not out of compulsion. Cheerfully. The third is quietly. We're going to read that in a second. Not showing off. The fourth, faithfully, with an expectation of the good that God will do with it. Fifth, if I'm counting right, I should have numbered these. Thankfully, God is the one who supplies, and so our generosity is done with a heart of giving it back to God. We're just giving back what He gave us, and that we don't have to worry because He's our provider. That's the rest of Matthew chapter 6. And the last one is with the right perspective, that we reject the world's thinking. The world's thinking of, I get this money in and then I give 10%. If I ever tell anyone at work that I give 10% or more of my income every year to church, the look on their faces is outrageous. Like, what? Why would you do that? Right? They're just shell-shocked. See, because the world has this perspective, the church just wants your money. And so when they see somebody that's like, no, yes, I of course I give, right? They're like, no way, you're deceived. It's like, no. No, I'm giving it back to God. And yes, the church manages it well, and we expect them to manage it well and transparently and have the right people and do all the right things with it. But ultimately, I'm giving back to God. I don't care what the world says. I care what the word says. See, there's also other Christians that'll give you a perspective, and I'm going to address this very shortly. There's also other Christians out there that will teach you that the tithe is abolished on the cross. That's not really what Jesus taught. See, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6 when he's correcting the Pharisees. Oh, no, sorry, Matthew 23, when he's correcting the Pharisees. In verse 23 to 24, he says, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness." Here Jesus clarifies so perfectly. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Now Jesus is saying, yes, see, the more important things are justice and mercy and the character of God and all of those things. But it doesn't mean that the Pharisees were wrong in being generous. See, maybe they'd taken it too far in tithing a tenth of their spices. That was a bit much. Right? And Jesus was kind of like, hey, chill out. Right? But it wasn't abolishing the tithe. It wasn't abolishing the generosity. It wasn't abolishing the provision of the church. It wasn't abolishing, it wasn't taken away. In fact, Jesus says you should still do that. See, there's Christians out there that are not connected with the church. And that's tough too. We've got to be careful not to take on the perspective of other things, but only take on the perspective of God, the Word. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus talks about the poor woman who gives 2 cents, and she gives cheerfully and she gives quietly. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 1 through to 4, Jesus talks about not letting your right hand know what the left hand is doing. And obviously that's a metaphor for giving quietly, not showing off. See, Jesus is the ultimate example of this. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. See, generosity is a part of who God is. Jesus served in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. I didn't write it down. But Jesus came to serve and not to be served. He was generous with his time. He was generous with people. He was generous in grace. He was generous in mercy. He was generous in every single way he possibly could have been. Barring becoming a millionaire and giving it all away or something like that. Jesus did everything he could to be generous. See, if we're discipled and we become more like Christ, then we become more loving, more generous, more caring. Our actions will start to model Jesus' love changing us. And then we'll be able to open the door and tell people about Jesus. Whether it's at the gym, whether it's at the workplace, at school, wherever you're at. Telling people about the love of Jesus, showing them by your generosity. Evangelism, discipleship, and generosity practiced will introduce Melbourne to Jesus. Amen. God, we just thank you today that you are guiding us further and further into your likeness. And Lord, whilst we recognize the areas that we haven't been like you, God, identify those in us and change us. Form us more towards your likeness. God, I pray that you would give me a fresh passion to be even more generous, even more loving. And give me that perspective to be even more caring and loving to my neighbor, to those that are not nice to me, to those that are great, to those, just to everyone I can. God, just give me your heart. And Lord, I pray that there's a culture building of discipleship that we spur one another on. We spur one another on towards loving this great city, whether they accept us or not. And God, I pray that you're opening doors. You're opening doors in every conversation for us to talk about your life-changing power. Not to talk about church, not to talk about the surround stuff. Open the doors to talk about you. How you changed our lives. Holy Spirit, I pray that this week you're guiding each and every one of us into that scenario. Being discipled, discipling others, being generous and loving others, and giving us opportunities to preach the good news. In your mighty, awesome, wonderful name, amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to get that, when you see that opportunity this week to talk about Jesus, take it. Go for it. Build up the courage. Build up the you know, strength. Go for it. I want to hear all the stories, all the testimonies. We're going to do a round robin. No, we're not going to do that. All the testimonies of when you were able to share the gospel this week. Amen? Amen. Amen. Awesome. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.